Once again, it's lovely to hear everyone singing so well, so thank you. And thank you too to Shannon and the band and our singers. Shannon, you've been leading us over the past few weeks, and you've done a wonderful job. Thank you for doing that, for keeping this lot under control. No easy task, but thank you for leading us in worship. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the parables from Luke chapter 15. Parables that talk about things which were lost and were then found, and also that speak of the joy of being found. Once was lost, but now is found, and just the joy that comes along with that. And we've looked at the father who waits, the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. We've looked at the son who searches, the parable of the lost sheep, and the Spirit who reveals, the parable of the lost coin. We've looked at all three of these. And in many ways, all those lost things, well, they're reflected in us. The lost sheep is a sheep that's gone astray. And one of the ways that we get lost is simply we just wander off like that lost sheep. Like the lost coin, we can just be helpless. And one of the ways that we're lost is that we can do nothing about it. We are stuck in the swamp of our lostness, and no matter how hard we struggle, we cannot get ourselves out of it. We're helpless. But also like the lost son, we tend to be foolish. Wandering, helpless, foolish. That's how the Bible describes us. But the wonderful thing about these parables is that God recognizes that in us and still reaches out to us in his grace. And when he finds what is lost, what are you like when you find something that's lost? You know, they set the car keys down and you know you've had them 2 minutes ago and you can't find them. Or your glasses are gone and you search the house for them and there they are on top of your head. It's usually just a sigh of relief. Glad I found them. Well, when God finds that which is lost, it's much more than just a, I'm glad I found him or her. It's joy. It is deep, abiding joy that marks God's heart when we are found. Now, of course, these parables are not just short stories with a bit of a twist in the tale. Jesus uses parables to make a point. And we need to remember the context in which Jesus told these three parables. And it's right at the beginning of verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15. Right at the beginning, we're told that the tax collectors and sinners are all gathering around Jesus. All these social outcasts are gathering around Jesus because they want to hear him. Interesting. People that no one else had any time for gathered around Jesus. But there was another group. Folks who were looking on from the sidelines, religious people, good people, church people, who looked on and looked down their noses, and you could hear them, dreadful, dreadful. And here's what they said about Jesus. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They could imagine nothing worse. Here we are, good church people. Here we are, people who do our best to keep all the laws. And there he is over there with those dreadful people. How could he do it? He welcomes sinners and he even eats with them. That's the context. It's against that background that Jesus tells these three stories. Needy people gathering around him and other folks who look on and think, imagine finding them. Imagine welcoming them. Imagine eating with them. Jesus uses these parables to teach two deep truths. And the two truths are this. One is about ourselves and one is about God. The first truth is that we are lost. Whether we've gone astray like the sheep, whether we're helpless like the coin, whether we're foolish like the sun, the basic truth of these parables about us is that we are lost. First truth. The second truth is this, that God finds great joy and delight in finding what was lost. If there was just the first truth, that we're lost, that we're helpless, that we're foolish, then that's a pretty dismal place to be. It's being stuck in that swamp and not able to pull ourselves out, not able to get ourselves right. But the second truth is of God's joy in finding what was lost. And we can't lose sight of either of those. God loves us and wants to rescue us. Paul picks up this theme when he writes to the church in Rome. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ dies for us. While we were still in our sin, while we were still stuck in that swamp, while we were still lost, was when Jesus died for us. He doesn't wait for us to find him. He sends his son. He doesn't wait for us to discover in ourselves that we are lost. He sends the gift of his Holy Spirit to shine upon our lives that we would know that we are lost. That's how he demonstrates his love. He knows we're lost, and yet he loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die even while we were still stuck in our sin. Remarkable truths. One of the lovely things about reading through the Gospels is that very often Luke will paint a memorable picture. So these three parables paint pictures for us. If I talk about the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, you will have a picture in your mind of what that means. You may have a picture of a father welcoming a son or a son eating pig food. The lost coin, you may well see a woman sweeping through the house looking for that coin. The sheep, either you will see a sheep stuck and lost or a sheep on a shepherd's shoulders being brought home. They're great pictures. Luke is very good at painting pictures in his gospel, memorable pictures. But the interesting thing is this. Those memorable pictures that Luke paints for us are often matched by memorable sayings that John picks up from Jesus. So we've had this picture of that which is lost being found. And then in John's gospel, we read this. And we heard it just a few moments ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It picks up on that picture of that which was lost and the joy and the delight in God of finding what was lost. God searches for us. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus didn't come into the world to stand back and say, yeah, you're stuck in your sin. Now you've done it. Now you're lost. Now you're sunk. Jesus came into the world to say, you're stuck in your sin, but I've come to rescue you. I've come to lift you out of that. Not to condemn you, but to save you, to rescue you. That's why Jesus has come. So when we hear the Pharisees looking on and saying, this man welcomes sinners and even eats with them. You know what? The Pharisees got it exactly right. They meant it as a complaint, but it was absolutely correct. The grumbling Pharisees got the gospel summed up in a nutshell. He welcomes sinners and even eats with them. Tax collectors, sinners gathered around to hear him. But those religious people were above such things, above those people. But those who needed him got it right. salvation belongs to our God. All of Scripture teaches it's not about me, it's not about us. If it was about me or us, Jesus would not need to have come into this world and lived and died to pull us out of that swamp. It's about God, who knows that we're lost, and then His grace reaches out to us in Jesus Christ. But the problem is that we're often quite comfortable. So comfortable that we don't even realize that we're lost. Let me read to you a quotation from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote this: "The safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without mileposts, without signposts. The safest road to hell, comfortable, easy, so gentle, so comfortable, so safe that we don't even realize we're lost." Very often, that's the road we're on. A road that's just comfortable. A road that just gently meanders downhill, soft underfoot. No sudden turnings, no milestones, no signposts, just gently drifting along. And Jesus says, "Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." We stay lost. We stay on this safe and gentle, steady road down because we neither believe the truth about ourselves nor about Jesus. We like to think of ourselves as being okay. Certainly, as we look at the world around us, what the world would teach us is that, you know, you can do this. You can make the best of your life. It's up to you. The Bible teaches that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Not one is righteous. We stay on that road, that gentle slope, because we don't believe the truth about ourselves or about the Jesus who came and lived and died so that we might be pulled out of that and rescued. The Son searches for you, just as that shepherd searched for that single sheep. The Son searches for you. The Spirit of God reveals your sin, reveals to you your need of the Savior, and the Father welcomes you home. That's what Jesus is teaching. Who we are and who Jesus is and what He has done for us. All through Scripture, there is a sense of urgency, because none of us know what tomorrow will bring. None of us know when Jesus will come back again to gather His own to Him. There is a sense of urgency. Isaiah simply says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near." It's not waiting. It's not hanging about until we think the time is right, until it's convenient, until it's easier for us. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. It's not sometime down the road when it might be better for us, we think, when it might be easier, when it might be less embarrassing. The Bible simply says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Now, here, before Jesus returns. So what about you? As the sand trickles through, What about you? Let's pray together. Father, often we are overwhelmed with the voices of this world, with information around us. Lord, speak to us the truth about ourselves. And then, Lord, in your grace, help us to know and to hear the truth about Jesus, who searches for us. Lord, forgive us that we think we have endless time. Forgive us that we think there will be a more convenient day. Speak to us by your Spirit, we pray, so that we may be rescued from that gentle slope, that broad road, and welcomed home by our Heavenly Father. And this we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.